welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So I love coming to church and just having that verse that David wrote in the Psalms just spring up in my mind again. And he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to encourage you, just as we come into God's presence, it's a joyous thing. It's a glad thing. Develop that culture. Develop that habit of seeing it as the most exciting moment of the week that we go. And it's not just that we go and be with friends. It's not just that we go and sing songs of worship. It's not just that we go and celebrate Christ even as much as we go to meet with Christ. And as you come expecting, and as you come with a hope and a dream in your heart, I believe that God's going to meet that every time. He'll encourage and He'll speak to us. And He'll build us up. And as a church, those of you obviously who hear regularly will know this, that we committed to the cause of Christ. We committed to pursuing that which He leads us in. The word which we use often, because Scripture uses it often, is the word obedience. We'll see that a little bit later today again. And God's called us to walk in purity and holiness and love with Him. He's called us to walk in obedience with Him. As we walk in obedience, there's so much grace that He pours over our lives. And He gives us the grace. He empowers us through His grace to be obedient. We speak a lot about passion. And we speak about the purposes of Christ. We speak about the desires of Christ. We speak about all of the things that Christ is wanting to see established, not only in our lives, but in the world all around us. This evening, this afternoon, I'm wanting us just to take a break a little bit from that, because as much as all of that is true, as much as all of it is right, as much of it is biblical and it's of God, it's important for us from time to time just to step back and to remind ourselves that God is not just some boss sitting up in an office looking down over the warehouse making sure we're all working. He's not a slave driver walking around with his whip just doing, well, you're driving us, come on, you need to be doing, why aren't you? You're not obedient, you're not listening, you're not pursuing purpose, you're not praying enough, you're not interceding, you're not studying Scripture, you're not going to small group, you're not inviting others to small group, you're not handing out Love the City cards, you're not doing, and sometimes we have a little bit of, that's the impression that Christ has, the impression in our hearts of who Christ is towards us. In Psalm 37, there's a beautiful passage which most of us could probably quote off our heart if you can't yet. It's a great verse to memorize. Those of us who've come to know Christ know this is so true. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. This afternoon, I'm wanting us to just stop and remind ourselves again that God is a benevolent God. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a God who looks down from heaven at you and me, and you know what He does? He smiles. Zechariah says that He rejoices over us with dancing. That to me is just a crazy thought, to think that the God of the whole universe, the God who made this whole place and keeps it all going, He looks down from heaven. He looks at your life and He looks at my life. And apart from the stuff we're doing or not doing, when He just looks at you and me as an individual, He rejoices over us with singing and with dancing. Those of us who are parents, it's easy to relate to this. You know, when I get home and my daughters are there, maybe even in the middle of the night when they'll wake up and they're screaming or shouting or doing something that they shouldn't be doing, it's a part of me that wants to step up, and I know I need to give them a hiding. I know this behavior isn't acceptable. But there's a massive part of me that in that moment just wants to pick them up and hug them nevertheless. Nevertheless, just wants to reach out to them and say, no, come on, let me give you another chance before I give you a hiding. It's not always the best way of doing it, but it's just that part of what God has placed inside of us is exactly which is in God when He looks down at every one of us. That before anything else, when He looks at you, He sees love. Phrase it differently. When He looks at you, He experiences love. When He looks at you, His heart just swells as a parent does towards their kids and just says, man, that's my boy, that's my girl. And God is not oblivious to the fact that every one of us, as we go through life, there are a whole bunch of desires hidden in our hearts. Some of us, those desires, we've pushed them so far away that we don't even go there. We don't think about that, because the only message we ever hear is God saying to us, die to yourself. And yes, if anyone desires to come up to Christ, we must pick up a cross daily. Follow Him. There is a dying of ourselves, but there's a flip side of that same coin where God looks at you and me and He says, there is desire in your heart. And you know what I want to do? I want to give it to you. I was thinking the other day, I was trying to phrase it to tweet it, never got around to it, but I was thinking, you know, one of the greatest joys in my life is making my kids laugh. One of the highlights of my day, every day, is when I can do something to make my kids laugh. Fortunately, my kids like laughing, so it's not hard. Especially the little one, she's 18 months now, she just giggles at everything. Everything is a joke. As I was thinking about that, I thought, I wonder, isn't that exactly God's heart towards you and me? That He derives such an amount of joy from seeing the joy in us. That He derives this incredible amount of joy from just seeing us laugh, making us laugh, causing us to laugh. It was Lisa's birthday, my oldest daughter's third birthday party yesterday. And for the whole week, my wife had been making a cake, a Barbie cake, because that's what girls do her age. Apparently, they don't grow out of it, but, you know, girls do it. Baked this big Barbie cake. So the whole week, my youngest has been wanting to hold this Barbie that's inside the cake. And every now and again, she'll go into the fridge and she'll go, do, 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 which means I must open it. So I open it, and Barbie's there all wrapped up, ready to put in a cake, and with this dress that my wife made for her out of cake stuff, whatever you call it. And then the little one just looks at it and just goes, Barbie. You know, ooh, Barbie. I said, no, you can't hold it. But she's like, okay, fine. And she closes the door. And an hour later, she's back at the fridge and she wants to see Barbie again. So eventually, yesterday, we cut the cake. We get Barbie out of this big dress cake. We get Barbie out and she sees this Barbie and she grabs this Barbie. For the rest of the day, she's just walking around with this Barbie in her hand. Because eventually, after this week of anticipation, she gets to hold Barbie. You know, God's put those desires in so many of our hearts. And sometimes we walk up to the fridge and the only thing we're aware of is the fridge is closed, but somewhere in the middle of that fridge, somewhere inside of there, is a Barbie wrapped in icing sugar. And it's not like she even wants the icing sugar, it just looks pretty. I sense God's wanting to say to all of us this morning, or this afternoon, whatever it is. We had a quick trip to the US last weekend via Dubai. And if you ever fly to America, don't fly via Dubai. Just look at a map and you'll realize it's all wrong. You don't go to the States via Dubai. It doesn't work. So we were in the air for 48 hours. Just in the air, never mind sticker, pissing in transit at the airport and doing crazy things like that. And I think we were on the ground for about 48 hours as well. Just over. And after a while, we looked at each other, and we all had our watches, and we just asked ourselves a simple question, and it sounds like a stupid question. What time is it? What time is it? Being in, just coming from Africa, being in Dubai for half a day, and just having come from Houston for 2 days, you look at your watch, you know exactly what time is it, but what time is it? Because your body hasn't got a clue what time it is. You don't know whether you should be eating breakfast or supper. You don't know if you should be waking up or going to bed. You just know you're tired. And the great thing about a trip like that is there's no time for jet lag. You just get back and you're tired, but you're not jet lagged because you never had time to settle into a new routine or anything. And I feel a bit like that still today. You know, is it morning or afternoon? Don't even remember where we are. But there's a God looking down at us and says, it doesn't matter where you are. There's one thing that we need to hear this evening, and that's God looking down at the desire in your heart, which maybe you've hidden, maybe you've forgotten about, maybe you haven't even discovered. God's looking at you and He says, you know what He wants to say to you is, I want to give you that desire. I want to give it to you. For some of us ladies, it's the obvious one. You want a husband. I'll never forget Robbie. She was with us this morning in Joburg. Henning, her husband, is here. I had a good laugh at the wedding. How old was Robbie when you guys got married? 22. She gets up and she does a speech. As part of her speech, she shares how she sat with her mom in their room and she cried through the night about where she ever going to find a husband. She got married at 22, you know. Some of you ladies, you're just where Robbie was, and it's a legitimate desire. The only thing in your heart is, God, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. God, I want to see your name glorified. I want to do all of that, God. But in the midst of my heart, I want a husband. Some of you just want a restored family. Some of you just want a degree, just want a good job. You just want a home that's happy, that's not falling apart. You want to get to the end of the month and not worry where your next meal is going to come from. We all have a bunch of different desires. And whatever they may be, there's a God looking down from heaven. And He says, I want to give you that desire. It's a beautiful story that illustrates this to us in the book of Genesis. And God appears to this guy by the name of Abram. Now, Abram wasn't a Christian, as we call him today. He wasn't a God follower. He had no awareness of God. Abram is just a guy who's just living a normal life as it would in that day, doing the best he can. And I love how God comes and God intervenes in his life. God comes and knocks on his door, figuratively speaking, pulls on his tent pegs. I'm not sure exactly how he'd knock on the door of a tent, but God comes to Abram one day and he starts conversation with him, starts relationship with him, starts getting to know him. Abram starts getting to know God. And one day the Lord said to Abram, well, this is where it starts. God just appears out of nowhere. Abram hasn't been looking for God necessarily. God appears in the way that he did in so many of our lives. We didn't necessarily go looking for him. God pitches up and he pulls on our tent pegs and he says to us, and look what he says to Abram. He says, Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Let's just pause there for a moment. That's a pretty crazy promise. Can you imagine if God came to you today and said, listen, put in your name. You know what you are? You are my gift to this whole earth. Every family on this earth is going to be better off because of you. Every family on this earth is going to have a better time here because of you and specifically my relationship with you. I think that's a pretty crazy thing to tell anyone. And God comes and God says to Abram, Abram, the New King James puts it, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All of the nations of the earth are going to be better off because of you, Abram. Abram didn't go looking for that. Abram didn't go asking for it. Abram wasn't spending nights through interceding for this. God just comes and knocks on his door and says, Abram, I want to do something special for you because I can. Because that's who I am. I'm a loving God. I'm a God who does special things. Sometime later, about 20 years later, just by the way, Abram was about 75 at this first age. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. He said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you. What's just happened here is his cousin Lot has just been abducted by pirates, you know, and held to ransom, and the whole story. And Abram said, no, this is rubbish. He's my family. And Abram did a Navy SEALs thing on him, and he went and saved him and got him, pulled him out of there, took all of the bounty, kind of everything from all of the pirates, took it back and sort of gave it back to the original owners, and all of the increase that he gave, it was sort of the first tithe, the first 10% he gave to a priest by the name of Melchizedek, who scripture later reveals to us was Jesus himself who came to meet Abram. And just after this, God speaks to Abram in a vision. He says to Abram, don't be afraid, for I'll protect you. Abram, don't worry about what just happened to Lot. It's not going to happen to you. And your reward will be great. Watch here. I just love this desire in Abram's heart gets verbalized. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, the servant in my household, he'll inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. And the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. I'll carry on the story just a little bit later, but just want us to pause a little bit. I want you to imagine your dream and your desire. Imagine that thing in your heart. For Abram, it was obvious he wanted a son. He just wanted somebody to whom he could hand over everything that he had. He'd built up a great deal of wealth. He'd become one of the richest men of his time. He just done well, for he'd worked really hard, and he gets to the end of his life and he's God. And now what? Now I hand it over to somebody who's not even my son. God, all I want, God, is I want to leave a legacy. I want somebody who can take what I've done, take what I've built, and carry on. I love how God looks at him from the beginning, and God's always thought of him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's always been multi-generational, and it's always been confusing this for Abraham, because the one thing, the first thing that God promised him is, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Later on, God changes his name to mean that, father of many. And here he is, an old man heading towards his 90s. No son. Sonless. And God comes and God gives him a promise. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. And Abraham says, God, what's the point? You're giving me all of this stuff except the one thing I really want. I want you to imagine that one thing you really want. And then just, if you'll just humor me for a moment, just as you're sitting, just close your eyes. Imagine the sun sets and we're out in the bushveld way away from the city. There's no lights around. You walk outside and you look up at those countless stars up in the sky. I believe God's wanting to say to every one of us, count those stars. That's how much I want to give you that desire in your heart. It's exactly what he said to Abram. He said, Abram, you want a son? Look up at the stars. That's how many kids I'm going to give you. You can open your eyes again. I just want to leave that picture with you, because as I was praying for this afternoon and this message, I just felt God saying simply, you know what God wants us to do? God wants you to take your dream. He wants you to take your desire. He wants you to take that thing that's so deep on the inside. Look away from that thing and just look up. The same way that God takes Abram out of his tent. He says, Abram, look up. You see that? Abram, take all of that in. Because that's just a glimpse of how much I want to bless you. That's just a glimpse. I love how God says it to him. He says, Abram, look up. Count the stars if you can, because that's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord. Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. I love how God reveals himself to him in this moment. God's got a whole bunch of names that he uses to describe himself. This is one of my favorite. El Shaddai, God Almighty. I love how God comes to him. He comes to a 99-year-old man, and don't forget what any crazy mystic theologian wants to tell you. This isn't the 99-year-old man who looked like a 33-year-old man today. This is a 99-year-old man who looked like a 99-year-old man today. This 99-year-old man, he's a wife is not far behind him, and she looks like a wife who's not far behind a 99-year-old man. And the first thing God comes and he says, I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. I love how God introduces Himself in this conversation. And He says, Abraham, I know what you're thinking right now. Abraham, I know you're thinking this is impossible. Abraham, I know you're thinking that there's no way this is ever going to happen anymore. Abraham, you know, I know you think I lied. But Abraham, El Shaddai, I am the God Almighty. There's nothing that I cannot do. There's nothing that's too hard for me. Serve me faithfully. Live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee you to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground, and God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I'll make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It'll no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Incredible promise that God gives to Abram right there. He says, Abram who's now become Abraham, not only are you going to have descendants as the stars of the sky, guess what? I'm going to always be their God. Always. Always, always. I love how he says, this is the everlasting covenant. This isn't the covenant that's going to go away after 200 or 300 years. This isn't the covenant that's going to fall away when Jesus comes. This isn't the covenant that's going to fall away ever. This is the everlasting covenant. Then in Galatians, the Apostle Paul picks up on this. He says to us, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And I believe many of us in this room today are. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Think on that for a moment. God's promise to Abraham. What is his promise? Well, that he's going to be our God first and foremost. That he's going to cause us to be God's blessing to this earth. And you can take that and get really arrogant about it, but we can understand that God wants us to be a blessing to the earth through our servitude. He wants us to be a blessing to this earth through the way we give, through the way we lay down our lives to them. But do you know that what God promised for you? That's what he wants. He looks down at you and he says, you know what? Those dreams, those desires, those hopes in your heart, and even as he came with Abraham and he established it as a covenant, he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you the one thing that's in your heart way more than you can ever possibly imagine. Abraham, it's yours. Just have a little faith. Abraham, just hold on a little. Abraham, just don't lose heart. Abraham, just keep focused. Obviously, at times, Abraham was like, God, this is never going to happen. God comes and says, El Shaddai. Since today, for some of us, God wants to come into our hearts and into our desires, and he wants to say to you, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. That dream, that desire, that hope. And yes, let's be honest, some of the dreams and some of the desires in our heart, God's going to come and purify. He's going to come and take away some of the desires in our hearts. Fair enough, there are going to be desires in our hearts that are not of him. But there are a whole bunch of really deep desires that are of him, that he has placed there, that he's put in our hearts. He wants to give it to us. And I love this verse 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. See, every one of those promises that God gave to Abraham become our promises. And I believe in the same way that God came and God knocked on Abraham's door, God came and knocked on our doors. He came not because we invited him in. He came and he extended his own invitation into our lives. We had to respond to that. were to open up the door and say, come on in, Christ, we want you to be here. But He didn't come to us because of our righteousness or our goodness. He came to us sovereignly out of His love for us. And He let us in. And He gave us those dreams and He gave us those desires. And I want to hold before you, He wants to give you those dreams and desires. For some of you, as I said earlier today, He wants to say, El Shaddai. Some of you need to take out your journal and you need to read. You need to write down that desire. You need to write down that hope. You need to write down that dream. You need to write down the thing that's burning in your heart. And just on top of it, write, El Shaddai. God, I can't make this happen. And we know one of the things that we learned from Abraham, at one stage Abraham tried to make it happen. At one stage Abraham committed adultery and his wife said, listen, this must be God's promise. We know this is God's promise because God's not a liar. But maybe God needs just a little bit of help. So let's take my maidservant and you do what needs to be done with her and impregnate her. And obviously that's God's blessing. And God looks down at her and says, no, 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 Abraham, no. No. I said, your son with your wife, not with another woman. And some of us, where we're sitting, we're thinking of, how am I going to make this happen? How am I going to stay? God, this desire is burning so strong, God, and I've got a conviction that you want to give it to me. So, God, how? God, there must be something I can do to make this happen. And God says, there's nothing. El Shaddai. He'll do it in His time. As you just surrender it to Him. As you choose to look to Him and say, God, I've already got it, even if I can't see it, because I know you've said it. In 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to be really quick today. The band can come up so long. 2 Corinthians 1, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. In Him, all of the promises of God are yes, and in Him they're amen. Some of you are probably too young to remember, but there used to be an old NDS ad. It was like a little yellow cockatiel. You guys remember that? And all the cockatiel would say, yes, 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 NDS. Who remembers that? Come give away your age. Huh? Yes, yes, yes. You know that little cockatiel? That's a representation of God's promises in Christ. But there's only one answer when it comes to God's promise. In Him, all of God's promises are yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Some people would say, as we read Scripture and the promises that Scripture gives us, one of my favorite promises is Isaiah 54, the whole of it, the whole chapter. It's just God's covenant of peace with His people, and it ends. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Just before that, one of my favorite bits in the whole thing says that all your children shall be taught by the Lord. Some theologians today get all upset, say, but how can you appropriate that as your own promise, Philip? How can that be a promise that you want to take for yourself because it wasn't written to you? It was Isaiah writing to a bunch of people. And I say, yes, but no. Because Corinthians tells me in Him, and if I'm in Him, then all of God's promises, all of them, are yes and amen. All of them. God's promises for your restored relationships. Last verse in the Old Testament will come to pass before the great final coming of the Lord, that I will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. That's a promise every one of us can take, and we can take back home, whether we're the fathers or whether we're the children. Say, God, that's a promise that in Christ is yes and amen, that God, if necessary in my family, you can turn the heart of the dad to the kids and the heart of the kids to the dads. So you can go through Scripture after Scripture and see those incredible promises. I remember I just gotten saved and someone, I never read it, but someone stuck a Bible in my hand. I did read other Bibles, just not this particular one. It was called the Promise Bible. And what they'd done is, throughout Scripture, 4,000 or something promises, that book had just highlighted the promise from God to us for today. There's so many promises that God holds before us. Promises of hope and peace and life. Promises of persecution. Promises of trials. Promises of tribulations. But promises of victory. Promises of hope. Promises of life. Promises of joy. Promises of peace. Promises that the desire in our heart, if we delight ourselves in Him, important if, don't miss that, if we delight ourselves in Him, He will give us the desires of our hearts. Can we stand this afternoon? I want to pray over us and pray for us. I want to pray for us that the Holy Spirit would give us the grace to look up. Not only look up in the natural, but to whatever the promise is, whatever that desire is. The grace to be able to look up with our spirits. To look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And in a sense also to look up at what He has created and what He has done. To look up at the stars and the sky. And to have an incredible revelation dawn upon us that the God who stretched out the heavens like a curtain, the God who created this big unfathomable thing we call the universe, which we don't know how big it is because every day we're thinking it's bigger than we thought it was yesterday. And the one thing we do know on this earth, the only thing that any scientist will agree that we definitely know is that we don't know how big the universe is. We don't know. God stretched out like a curtain. But that exact same God is looking down and reaching down into your life, saying to you, I want to give you the desires of your heart. That as big and as amazing as He is, what's probably the most amazing is that He knows not only how big the universe is, but He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows when one of them falls off, that He is intricately involved in every little bit of our lives. And yes, we're going to pursue His purpose. Yes, we're going to see His kingdom come. Yes, we're going to see souls saved. Yes, we're going to see hearts and lives turned to Christ. Parallel at the same time, underpinning all of that is going to be just an awareness that there's a God who is for us. A God whose hand stretches out towards us, covers us, cares for us, and hasn't forgotten about us. So Father, this afternoon, Lord, with just such simplicity, we want to come before You and honor and acknowledge You for all You've already done, God. So much that You've poured into our lives, Lord, when we weren't deserving of it. Because we've never been deserving of it. Lord, thank You that as You came and You knocked on Abraham's door, You came and You knocked on our doors, the doors of our lives, Lord. Thank You for the goodness You showed us, Lord. Even as we opened the door and let You in, God, You've come in so much better than we ever could have imagined. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I want to pray over every one of us. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you just need grace to look up again. If you just need grace to see the promise that God holds before you. Maybe you've grown disillusioned, or maybe you've grown tired. Maybe you've just thought this is never going to happen. You just need grace to look up. Just as you're standing, just raise your hands just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, as these hands are raised, Lord, specifically for them, but over all of us, Lord, specifically these raised hands, God, I pray for a grace to look up, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, for a grace that our spirits would look up beyond what we see in the natural, God, beyond, in Abraham's sense, figuratively speaking, our age, Lord, beyond the reasons in this earth why it shouldn't happen, beyond the lies that we've bought as to why You're not able. That we would look into the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord Almighty, El Shaddai. And as we look at you, God, that we would see the multitude of the stars that you have placed in the heavens. And we know that just represents a small bit of your heart towards us, God. God, thank you for a grace to look up. Even now, God, as you're causing spirits to lift up. You're causing spirits to look up in Jesus' name. Causing hope to rise again. And faith to hold on to the promises of God. God, I pray that you would give and grant every one of us the desires of our heart. The Holy Spirit, you would lead us that we may delight ourselves in Jesus and Jesus alone. And as we do that, that you would give us those deep, hidden desires of every one of our hearts. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps you this afternoon, Lord, you where Abram was right at the beginning, you've heard of God, you've been aware of God, but you've never met God. You don't have that relationship where God comes into your life and speaks to you and you speak to Him. You work through stuff. Doesn't mean everything is suddenly hunky-dory and there are no challenges. But Jesus is with you in those challenges and you know He's there. There's relationship. There's life. Perhaps you, Abraham, sitting in the tent. And today Jesus comes and He's knocking on your door. And He's saying, Abraham, come, let's go. Let's get out from this house, and I want to take you to a new house that I've prepared for you. A new land, new promise. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you this afternoon. I'm going to ask you if that's you, just quickly slip up your hand and say, Philip, it's me. I need to invite Jesus in. And to start that relationship with Christ, just put your hand up high if that's you. We'd so love to pray with you. Is anyone like that? Say, Jesus, come and dwell in this tent. Come and lead this tent because I want to follow you. Lord, we're so thankful for every heart and every life you've touched right now. God, thank you for the hope that's in us because it's hope that you pour into our hearts. God, I want to speak your abundance of blessing and favor over your people, Lord. That in this week as we go, that we go carrying the hope of Christ in our hearts, Lord. That we go holding on to your promises, Lord. That we go looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that we go expectant, Lord. That we go hopeful to see the salvation of our God in every moment of every day, of every life. Because we get to be your blessing to this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you raised your hand now while we were praying, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Perhaps God was speaking to you. Perhaps there's a desire in your heart that you're so despondent about. And you need someone to pray El Shaddai over it. God Almighty. To someone to stand in faith with you, to break some of the lies that maybe you've come to believe over time. We'd love to pray with you. Please don't leave without having somebody pray with you. And ask the band just to keep ministering. And if you want to spend time in God's presence, you're welcome to do that. We've got a bit of time before the next service. If you need prayer, as I said, come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Then if you're visiting, there's coffee and tea outside. Have some coffee and tea. Hang around. Love to get to know you a little bit better. Find out who you are, what you're about, chat to you. Have an incredible week. And may God's favor and His blessing rest upon all you do. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.